Okay, progression then. That's one of the other key things which Ofsted highlights in its History for All. And in fact, from the previous report, History in the Balance, it's exactly the same issue is arising. That one of the problems are that assessment is the least successful element of it. An assessment is not successful because often we don't know what we're trying to assess. And if we don't know what we're trying to assess, we can't know whether we've moved the children forward or not. So there are a number of things to think about. First of all, there's a lack of clarity sometimes in what we do. And there's a lack of understanding about how we move through a concept. So for example, with Key Stage 1, Level 1 of chronology says that children show an emerging sense of chronology by putting events or objects in order. So when our children in Year 1 are sorting their teddy bears, old, older, oldest, they're clearly working at Level 1 by ordering those objects. When we have Henry VIII and his six wives, and we put those wives in order as well, we actually are doing exactly the same thing. Although the material that we're using is potentially more complex, we might be using images, we might be using text as well, but if we're just putting those women in chronological order, then our Year 6 class is also working at Level 1. And what we've got to try to do is to understand how we move from one area to another. We also have to make use of the attainment target. The attainment target has levels within it. It shows us how we can move, how we can go from levels 1 to 3 for Key Stage 1 and levels 3 to 5 for Key Stage 2. We want to focus on the higher order thinking skills for Key Stage 2, the sorts of things that Bloom's taxonomy is developing, where we're looking at analysing and evaluating rather than just noting and describing. One of the things that we do with the students here is that we have some feedback for them which suggests how they might move from various different areas. So within chronology, for example, you may start with only two stages with Key Stage 1, old object, new object, or a picture of a child as a baby and a picture of the child now. By the end of Key Stage 1, timelines are used to sequence the periods of history that the child has visited, and you might want to introduce some dates as markers on your timeline. The children are not required to remember any dates until Level 3. Using common words and phrases such as everyday terms, now, then, old, new, etc. is the sort of work that you'll be doing. And you should move on to talk about Victorian times or the Middle Ages. Children don't need to know dates from this time, but they should be building up mental pictures of what they look like. So a visual timeline should be starting in children's head. As they moved into Key Stage 2, they moved towards more formal historical framework. We begin to talk about the Romans, the Saxons, and you should use a few dates as markers along the way. It doesn't matter especially that children can reel off a string of dates, although some children will enjoy this, but they should be encouraged to count the numbers of years between events and periods, and this helps them to start relate to the periods one to the other. They need to understand the basic sequence of events within a period study, and also the sequence of periods, and be encouraged to make comparison between periods at every stage, particularly in relation to familiar things like clothes or houses. And increasingly, they should realise that things changed within a period. The early Saxons are very different from the late Christians. Elizabethan English has moved on from Henry VIII's time in many ways. So they're looking within and they're looking across and they're making connections at the top of year six, and that's the difference to what they're doing from Year 1. So we have a range that we use with the students on lots of different ones. I can take you through some of the others. Characteristic features. In Key Stage 1, we're using stories set in the past to emphasise a range of period detail that goes with that. Much of that detail relates to domestic areas that are familiar to children and can be readily compared to their own lives, so clothes, food, houses, music, schools, etc. But you can also introduce unfamiliar things like castles and cannons and sailing ships. Showing and talking about the pictures in storybooks is a good opportunity for this sort of work, and role play in a home corner or interactive play area is an excellent way of exploring different ways of life. Much of the important groundwork for later history work is laid down in this element, and there's a wealth of visual images is important here. But in Key Stage 2, children will start to form a more balanced picture of life in the past. They should expand from the domestic outlook to one that includes different sections of society and local and national and international events. They should encounter ethical dilemmas and realistic and unretouched pictures of difficult times. Increasingly, they should know about particular events happening within a historical context, and they should begin to recognise that different periods can be characterised by specific ideas, such as how the philanthropy of the Victorians ran alongside urbanisation and the Industrial Revolution. Causality. Many stories told on the carpet demonstrate clear causality which children can understand and explain. When we're introducing children to significant individuals, they should focus on why the people acted as they did and what the consequences of their actions were, so that they can begin to make links between cause and effect rather than just describing what happens to them. When we move into Key Stage 2, the children need to discuss those events in a much more coherent and linear way. We need to link events together to show how one thing leads to another. And rather than just accepting reasons from us, the children need to begin to suggest reasons why for themselves on the basis of the evidence. They need to understand increasingly that there are often a number of factors in play and there are no simple answers. Historical interpretation is one which has been suggested we don't cover with Key Stage 1, but I don't think that that's necessarily true. Children need to understand that people writing the stories and films and creating the museum displays had to find out about the past from original sources. You might talk about illustrations in a storybook and how the illustrator must have used old photographs to find out about how to draw the costume. If they look at the story of Boudicca, for example, as a significant individual. If you tell the story to them well and then you split them into two and you say to them, "You're the Iceni, I want you to answer the question, was Boudicca a good person? Did she do the right thing?" And "You're the Romans, I want you to answer the question, was Boudicca a good person? Did she do the right thing?" Even a year two children can say, one group will say, "Yes, she was a freedom fighter," and the other group will say, "No, she was a terrorist." And while you might have a pitched battle in the playground, they will understand about the differences between those two and that those same versions are both true. At Key Stage 2, when we're examining original sources along modern representations, such as in historical fiction or films, or with secondary sources, children should be encouraged to think about how accurate the modern representations are and what they've chosen to include or leave out. In each topic covered, there are different points of view. The Roman view against the British one, the view of the Armada from Catholic Europe as opposed to Elizabeth's England. Learning that there are two sides to a question is probably the greatest gift that history can give us, and it will be a cruel waste if we neglect every opportunity to teach this life skill. Children should be encouraged to consider why there are different viewpoints and what the idea of bias means.